Hey, good afternoon. This is our 49th class in the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim u'Molchamos. We are in the 12th chapter, meaning the last chapter of the Rambam. And the Rambam, we're in the middle of a subject, so let me catch everyone up to what we're in the middle of talking about. The Rambam first explained to us that there is a concept called Mashiach, and that every Jew is required to believe in Mashiach, and that part of believing in Mashiach is not just to believe in Mashiach itself, but believing in the whole Torah. If you don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in the Torah, you don't believe in anything. That's why it's one of the principles of faith. And then he explained to us what it is that we are waiting for. What is the technical aspect of Mashiach? There's going to be a king who's going to bring the Jewish people back. And then there are other things that will happen that the Rambam goes out of his way to repeat multiple times, that you don't know what that rest means. I can tell you I think it's going to be like this. Someone else will tell you it could be like that. We don't know until it happens. But here are the things we know for sure will happen, and here's some of the things that we're not sure about. That's what the Rambam said at the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. Then the Rambam went into, when we started Halacha Dalad, to discuss, well, why do we want Mashiach? And you have to think about this, because this is a very important question. If you ask someone today, let's take a person living in Eretz Yisrael. So why are you living in the land of Eretz Yisrael? You'll get different answers from different people. And in that case, let's say the Ramban holds it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today. So if you ask the Jew, why are you living in Eretz Yisrael today? He says, because I hold like the Ramban that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So you know what he's doing? According to the Ramban, he's doing a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Now what about this other Jew who says, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael because I like the weather? So he's also doing the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, just with the wrong intentions. Right? But you're still doing the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. But it could be that may not be the same for waiting for Mashiach. If you're waiting for Mashiach because you believe that in the days of Mashiach your business will thrive, I have a farm and I have a lot of sheep, and right now the market for sheep is not so big in the farm community, but just you wait till we start bringing karbanos for everything, right? So I want Mashiach to come so my business can boom. If that's the intention of the person, there may be a lacking in the waiting for Mashiach itself. So therefore, the Rambam needs to spend some time explaining to us why we want Mashiach. But in Halacha Dalad, he only gave us a very brief elaboration on that, because primarily, this issue, as much as it's relevant to our subject, is really an issue for, as we mentioned, Sefer Hamada in Hilchos Tshuva. Now, why does this subject belong more in Hilchos Tshuva than in Hilchos Malachim u'Molchamos? The reason is very simple. Because here, in the laws of Hilchos Malachim u'Molchamos, the Rambam is teaching us the halachos of Mashiach. In Sefer Hamada, he's explaining the principles behind Tzchar Va'onesh and Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. Basically, there he's explaining the principles of faith as they are principles of faith. Therefore, it makes sense that over here, the Rambam is very brief about it, and in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is more elaborate about it. Over here, we're going to reread the Rambam as we have it here in Halacha Dalad. I'm just going to mention what he adds in Hilchos Tshuva. But we have a third source that we need to look at, as we'll explain in a minute, and we started to look at that last week. So first, the Rambam by us. This is the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim u'Molchamos, the Laws of Kings and War, and Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12, Halacha Dalet, says the Rambam, Lo nis'avu anevi'im v'chachamim yemos ha-mashiach. The prophets and the sages did not desire there should be days of Mashiach, not because they desired world dominion, which is what some people want. They just want power. Not so that we can rule over the nations. That's not what we're looking for, is to control and put other people to work. Nor even that the nations should elevate us, that we should have some exalted position. Which is, if you think about it, again, going back to the people living in Eretz Yisrael today, there are some people who would live in Eretz Yisrael just because they like the security. Again, that's open for discussion now, but certainly that's the motivation. So people who come because they want, like we said, that may not work for why you want Mashiach. I hear where your question is going, but I just want to clarify. I don't think we ever said that. I don't think we ever said that it was only that. What we understood was that because the Jewish people were going to be led by Mashiach, that this was that he was going to be a leader of the world and sort of educate the whole world into a geopolitical movement towards peace. So it is more. We've already said that it's more than just, you know, autonomy. Well, the Rambam is not going to use an example of something that isn't true. The Rambam is trying to tell you that even if those things are true, it's still not the reason. Right? So he wouldn't need to use examples of things that he didn't believe were going to happen. He's just saying it's not about that. Okay? V'lo kidei lecho v'lishtas v'lismoach, nor to eat and drink and be merry. Right? This is not about a life of being able to party. Alek deshiya pnuyim b'torah b'chachmasa, we should be free to study Torah and its wisdom. Below Yelahem Nogeis Umavatul, we should have no one oppressing us and no one disturbing us. Kadesh Yisku L'Chayol Maba, so that we can merit Chayol Maba Kmo Shebi'arnu B'Hilchos Tshuva, as we explained in Hilchos Tshuva. So once again, so we learned last week, we saw the whole Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and there the Rambam asked a very difficult question, which is, if the Schar Va'Onesh, reward and punishment, is in the next world, why does Shema say, and the whole Torah say, things will happen to you, good or bad, in this world? And says the Rambam, they're not reward and punishment, but rather, everything that you have in this world, everything that's happened to you, everything that's been done for you, for the good or for the bad, for the good was to help you be able to accomplish more of your purpose in this world. And the only thing that's ever happened to you that's been bad was when you were withheld from accomplishing what you need to accomplish in this world. In other words, if let's say a person is supposed to, their job in this world is to experience 30 moments of joy and to handle them properly, and 30 moments of sadness and to handle them properly. I hope it's more than 30 apiece. I'm just using numbers. Right? So each time that person gets that moment of joy, that's a moment of challenge in their life, and if they handle it properly, they can check that box. They handle that challenge properly. Now, that's part of what they're meant to do in this life. Now, they get a challenge, and if the challenge is presented to you, if you handle that properly, also it's part of what you're supposed to accomplish in life. If you don't handle it properly, then you've squandered the opportunity. And let me make it clear, it's not all or nothing, right? Each thing you can pass at 20%, 30%, 50%, so we don't have a clue as to whether we did or didn't really pass. But we all try our best, but all those things are only, they're never reward or punishment, they're just further investments into your role in life. So as he said, Hashem says, if you're someone who I give you money, you use it for good things, then I will not reward you, but give you more good things so that you can, in a very simple way. It's like this. If a person gets $1 million, so $1 million costs you in heaven, right? There's a price, right? There's an offset by that. But if you take $1 million and you give $200,000 to tzedakah, you're giving 20%, so now that becomes a mitzvah that you did with the whole $1 million. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, aha, if we give this person money, they turn it into mitzvahs. Now the $1 million costs, but the mitzvahs they produced were more than that. So I give this person $2 million, and they'll accomplish more worth of mitzvahs. The more money you give, the more it ends up turning into more. So Hashem invests. When a person doesn't do mitzvahs, they're not being punished, but they're being withheld. Hashem takes that stuff away so that they don't fail so badly. And it's all part of the person's system. But there's no reward and punishment. It's all. Therefore, says the Rambam, if you understand that that's the way the world works, then, says the Rambam that we saw in Hilchos Teshuva, then you'll understand the purpose of Mashiach. Because Mashiach is to create in your life a situation where you can serve Hashem without disruption and without disturbance. You'll live your life, there will be a certain level of availability of resources for each person to be able to live a spiritual life the way they want to live. So today, if a person wants to go to work, he has to consider which days I have to take off, those days of Chol HaMoed, and this, that. But if you live in a world that's run according to the Torah, no businesses are open in Chol HaMoed, unless they're a Davar Avud, and Hefsed Meruba, and whatever the Heterim are, things that are necessary. And so therefore, everyone is just able to keep the Torah properly, because the world is in such a way that we're able to serve Hashem, and the miracles become can be seen, and we're inspired, and the world is in a place where things are better. That's what we're looking for in the days of Mashiach, not as the end, but as the greatest means to the true end, which is Olam Haba. That's what the Rambam explained in Hilchos Tshuva.
So does that mean there's no suffering like we know it today?
So exactly what that means, the days of Mashiach are going to look like, so I think that's important to phrase that as a question before I answer that. So, well, one second. Will there be, for example, poverty in the days of Mashiach? And if there'll be poverty, then there'll still be the guy who's stressed out about his finances and won't be able to serve Hashem properly. So what the Rambam is going to say is that there'll still be poverty, but not that kind of poverty. Right? There'll still be illness, but not that kind of illness. Right? And so the world will sort of advance and be corrected in this way. I don't want to get ahead of it, as we'll see the way the Rambam says it. But that's essentially what he's saying is, "V'nasati mitar artzachem be'ito." I will give you the rain in its time. V'asafta deganecha, you will live l'man yirbu yumeicham. You'll live long lives. So that means not so much because Mashiach has come that there won't be so much poverty and illness, but because Mashiach has come because we've all bettered ourselves and corrected ourselves. So when that happens, when we're living in a world where we're all trying our best, and that way, that's why there'll be no poverty and illness like that. Right? That's we're still. I haven't fully addressed that because what the world will look like is really the Rambam Halacha Hey. Right? But so we're still in the Rambam Halacha Dalet, where he's saying what we're not planning Mashiach to be about. Okay, there's one more source from the Rambam on this subject, and let me explain what that source is. This is the Rambam's commentary to the Mishnah. And although we're reading this last, after reading the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, or Melchamos, and then reading the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, so we're kind of going in chronological order, because of course, this is the first Sefer written by the Rambam.
We say in our prayers, Zokei Kapufin, Rofei Cholim, Matir Asuri. So when is this going to happen in this world, in Moshiach?
That's already happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rofei Cholim, is that every person who's ill, so the way we understand it is that doctors kind of have to wave their hands over it and do the things the doctors have to do. And then you daven, and Hashem is Rofei Cholim every day. And Hashem is Matir Surim every day. And all the we're still waiting for Mekayim HaMenasa Lisheni Afar for Tchias HaMesim, which the Rambam says we don't exactly know. But those promises are already happening. But what will happen on the bigger level, which is what you're referring to, which is when all the Cholim will be healed, and all those, right, as Az Ilein B'Shir Yaron, as we say in the special introduction to benching, then even the Ilein, the mute person, will sing with joy. So that's a certain stage. We don't exactly know how exactly this is going to progress. But yeah, eventually all the cholim will be healed and all the isurim will be released. Right? Okay, so the Rambam, his first work, if we say the one that put the Rambam on the map of the world, was his commentary to the Mishnah. In the commentary to the Mishnah, not only did he write a full work explaining the Mishnah, which was up until that point there was not one written, but besides for that, he also has these essays that he inserted into his commentary to the Mishnah. The first one is his introduction to the Mishnah, where he has a whole world view of how the world works, And then another famous one is his introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is one of the tractates of the Mishnah, where he explains his perspective on ethics. But then, in his introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, which the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin begins with a very famous Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Abba, every Jew has a portion in the world to come. So the Rambam says, well, one second, what's Olam Abba? What's the world to come? So the Rambam has a very, very long essay where he explains not only Olam Abba, and not only does he explain Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Abba, but also, the Rambam uses that opportunity to say, a lot of Jews ask me, what do Jews believe? And so the Rambam put together these 13 principles of faith. And he elaborates on each one of them. And we've discussed the fact how incredible it is that the Rambam saw this need for Klal Yisrael, and he established it in this way, as only the Rambam could do. And this is all in the introduction to Perek Chelek, and the Rambam explains and defends each of the principles of faith. But the ones that he's spending the longest on, which is the whole reason why it's there, is to explain the concept of Olam Haba and Schar Va'onish, reward and punishment. And I want to remind you that according to our tradition, the Rambam started to write this commentary to the Mishnah in his teens. Okay, so we don't have time to read the entire very long introduction to Perek Chelek, but we started to read a little bit last week. I'm just going to pick up from where we left off. But yeah, we know who the Rambam's teachers were. He was a student, he was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Rimi Gash, and he was a student of his father, Rabbi Maimon. So, but there's nothing, there are people who are bigger than the, like you say, the Aron didn't take up any space. There's some people who are bigger than the room that they're in. Right, so you have people like the Rambam, and no one can understand how Rashi knew the Gemara without Rashi's commentary, because there's just some Gemaras that without Rashi, you just, so how does Rashi know it? Right, so that's some people are just bigger than the lake that they're in. Okay, so what he had been discussing in this commentary, I'm just picking up where we left off last time, was once again he had spoken about this idea that we have a problem, that we're supposed to imagine Olam Haba. I'll say it in a mashal that I like to say it over. I was in a situation where I was teaching a class and I mentioned Olam Haba, and someone made a comment, and it was a pretty fair one too, which is, Olam Haba doesn't sound that great. But I think it's a fair question, because we should ask that. You know, what exactly is this? So I said to them, you know, sometimes, you know, Hashem sends you a mashal, the right one in the right moment. So I said, here's the mashal of this young boy who receives his $1 at the end of the week, and he decides he's going to go down to the candy shop and buy his favorite candy. So he goes down into the candy shop, and he goes, it's one of those candy shops where all the drawers, you know, there's little, and so he goes over to the fourth drawer on the left, four drawers down, and he's about to take his favorite candy, and then he hears from behind the counter, the candy man says to him, you don't want that one. Said, yeah, I don't want that one, it's my favorite candy. He's like, no, I'm telling you, go two to the right, one up, that's the one you want. The kid thinks to himself, he's holding his favorite candy, he's got his dollar, but the guy behind the counter probably knows what he's talking about. So he buys that candy, gives the guy a dollar, walks outside, puts the candy into his mouth, and that is the best candy he's ever had in his life. And he says to himself, you know what? The candy man really knows what he's talking about. He comes back the next week excited because he's going to buy another one of those candies. And it's going to be his new favorite candy. When he gets in, he's about to go, you know, and the candy man says, no, that's not the one you want. You want, he goes three down, two across, that's the one you want. So, last time he was right, he tries it again, and sure enough, he comes outside, puts the candy, best candy he's ever had. Next week, he doesn't even go to the drawer, he just looks at the candy man, you know, where do I go? Candy man says, go here, go there. And so this happens every week for months. He walks in one week, he looks at the candy man, and says to the candy man, so what's this week? And the candy man says, that's it, you've tried all the candies. He says, no, all week I've been waiting, every week I come in, there's something more exciting. He says, no, that's it. He says, you have to have something. He says, well, I'll tell you, there is a candy, and it's much better than any of these candies. The problem is, you can't have this candy unless you go 6 months without eating any candies. What do you think this boy does? He goes 6 months without candies. Why? Because it's worth it. Why is it worth it? He has no idea. He has no idea it could be the worst thing ever. The answer is, because the candyman's been right so far. Right? So Hashem invented ice cream. He invented pizza. He invented Monday Night Football. He invented all these things. He made these things. Right? Hashem made these things for you. He invented the concept of pleasure and made you like these things and then gave you those things. So he has a little bit of knowledge about what you may not like. Now he's telling you that there's something out there that's a million times better. But in order for that to do, you're going to have to go a little bit without. So you know this idea of but says the Rama, coming back to where we are, right? Obviously the Nimshal is self-explanatory, but what the Rama is saying is that's part of our problem, is that we don't understand Olam Haba, we can't understand things that are beyond the physical. So you kind of have to just, how do I know? But the answer is Hashem also created this physical, and if someone, and he's telling you, Hashem is telling you, whatever you like, and I know what you like, it's going to be better. Yes, even better than that. Okay. You mean, because Hashem says, if you do the right thing, I'm going to give you a reward. And that's part of the Gemara. Asher seen all this great stuff other than God alone, because it's beyond what, as we said, what the prophets can quote. But just in general, I will give you the reward. That's good. So continuing on where we stopped last week, I'm not going to read all of it, but just go through it sort of quickly. If you think about these two different kinds of pleasures that people have, the physical versus the spiritual, even in this world, people can recognize that there's a difference between base pleasures and more spiritual pleasures. So he says, you find the majority of people, v'ulai kulam, and maybe all, which is the Rambam's little sarcasm, matilam al nafsham v'gufam, they take on themselves, amal v'yigia she'en l'malimam, the kind of effort and the kind of toil that people put in, k'dei lahasig gedula, to attain greatness, or she'yichabduhu b'nei adam, that people will honor him. He says, if you think about this, people give so much value to other people honoring them. And what will people do to get other people to honor them? What are they willing to do? The craziest things. What's the pleasure? So you can already see that human beings can begin to understand that a spiritual pleasure, even if you can't explain it, can actually bring you to do things that are crazy just to get a pleasure you can't even explain. I mean, logically. If you explain, I need a million views on that someone posted social. I need a million views. Why? So you see that you can desire things you don't understand, and you desire them even more than you do physical things. This pleasure, you can't eat popularity. You can't drink popularity. What's the pleasure? There are majority of people would prefer vengeance over their enemies, Yosem Mirabi Mitanugi Aguf, more than any physical pleasure that you can offer them. If they had a choice of their perfect physical experience or vengeance against their enemies, they take vengeance. Why? You can't eat that. And here's an even better example. There are people who have options to commit the most base and pleasurable experiences that they desire, but they won't do it because they're embarrassed, so someone else will see. Why should that shame be a more powerful force moving you than your desires? So you see that your dignity is sometimes more powerful than your own desires. So you see within yourself that sometimes the things that you consider the things you want are sometimes the less physical and the more spiritual than the more physical. And if this is true in the physical world, that we actually prefer the spiritual over the physical. So what do you think is going on in the upper world? Of course there's no eating and drinking. Meaning that we will have intellectual pleasure. Like the supernal beings. And I can't explain to you. You can't describe that pleasure. You can't describe it. I don't even have the mashal to give you. And the Rambam quotes the Pesukim for us. That's the Navi who's saying, Marav Tuvcha, what incredible goodness. Ashat Safanta Lirecha, that you hid for those who fear you. Pa'alta Lachosimach, you've done for those who bask, or who take shelter in you. That's why our sages say that the next world is no eating, no drinking, no washing, no smearing, no tashmish. Tzadikim yoshrim, the righteous are sitting, vatrusim barashem, with their crowns on their heads, v'nanim iziv ha-shechina, and they're taking pleasure from the glow of the Shechina. He's going to explain that meaning of that. That's not our subject, so we're not going to talk about crowns and glowing ziv ha-shechina. But coming back to our point, V'zehu atov ha'atzum, that's the true good. That's the good that there's no good compared to it. How can you compare ha'kayim she'en lo tachlis b'davar ha'avud? How can you compare something infinite to something finite? And that's why it says, l'man yitav lach v'arachta yamin. You will, good for you, and you will live a long life. Long life? There's no long life in this world. 120 years is considered a super long life. 120 years is like 10 more minutes than 20 years. Ask anyone who's in their hundreds. It feels like it was 10 minutes. So that's not what Arichas Yamim really means. Arichas Yamim, obviously we want to live long in this world because we want long opportunities. But Arichas Yamim is really in the next world. He goes on to explain the other side of punishment, so I'm going to skip over that. Avol haftechos v'afechan amur b'Torah, says the Rambam, rather when the Torah tells you good things are going to happen to you or bad things are going to happen to you, it's like this. If you do the mitzvahs, I will keep you, I will help you keep more mitzvahs. I will take away all the obstacles, and therefore there will be no illness, and there will be no famine, and there will be no thirst, and there will be no war. He's saying that that's what's going to happen even in the days of Mashiach, because we don't consider illness and famine to go away to be miracles. That's not supernatural. If anything, illness is a corruption of the natural element. It exists within the natural, but it's where things are not functioning properly. So things will function better because we will be functioning better. Therefore, l'chein avtiach, Hashem promises, He'll remove all these things, she'abriyim, everyone will be healthy, v'shalavim, we will be serene, k'dei shetish lam al yediya, so that we can learn, so that we can grow, and that way we merit olam haba. Comes out, the purpose of the Torah is not to fatten the land, or to make the people healthy, but rather it's to help you you should be healthy so that you can perform the mitzvahs better. And if you transgress, etc., the other way. Then he goes on to Gan Eden. We're going to skip that. Avo Yemos HaMashiach, but the days of Mashiach, whose man, that is a time, Shebotachzer HaMalchus LiYisrael, we will get our king back. V'yachzur L'Eretz Yisrael, and all of us are going to go to Eretz Yisrael, every Jew. V'yoso HaMelech HaOmed Makom Malchus HaTzion, and his kingship, his throne will be in Tzion. V'yizgadel Shemo, his name will be great. V'yagi Alekatzve Sevel Yoser V'gadol HaMamachas Shlomo, and his kingship will spread and be greater than even the kingship of Shlomo. V'yichrusu Imo HaAmim Bris Shalom, and the nations will make peace treaties with him. V'yavduhu Kol HaRatzos, and all the people in all the lands will serve him. L'gadol Tzidko, because he's going to be so righteous. V'niflaos Yizgalu Al Yado, and amazing things will be revealed through him. V'chol Mishayamud Alav Yachrisehu Hashem V'yimsereh B'yadu, anyone who rises up against them, Hashem will cut them down and give them over to their hands. I'm going to say this list outside again, because you'll notice, well, wait, we didn't hear a list like this before. So let me say that again. This is the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah. He says, Mashiach is just going to be a different time. I want you to notice that all of these things are miracles, but they're all natural. Right? Because that's sort of that line that the Rambam is walking. So, Mashiach is going to become king. All the Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. His kingship will be Yerushalayim and Zion. His name will be great. His kingship will spread all over the world. It will be more recognized than Shlomo HaMelech. And all the nations will make peace treaties with him. That's a pretty big miracle if someone could pull that off right now, but you know, still within, right? And he's going to be such a righteous person, and no miracles, just such a righteous person that people will look up to him and serve him. And then wonders will be revealed through him. What does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean any miracles. And all his enemies will be cut down. And the verses all make one point, which is, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. However, it looks like it's going to be good. Everyone's going to be happy with it. But don't expect any changes in the nature of things. We will have kings. Because the only difference is the subjugation of the nations. But notice how even though that's the only difference, subjugation of the nations means Mashiach will be exalted, and he will, right, lots of other things, but it's all from this, just Mashiach establishing the kingship. There will still be the strong and the weak. Now, we're cheating a little bit, because that's really connected to what the Rambam is going to talk about in Halacha Hey, but we're reading the Rambam in the commentary to the Mishnah. There'll still be the strong and the weak. It's just that Parnas is going to be so easy for everyone. They only need to do a little bit of work. So sort of a universal income that will be available to all of humanity, because there's just going to be plenty. And that's what it means that bread is going to go on trees, says the Rambam. Not literally that bread's going to go on trees. Because it's the way of people, and then when they say something, when they find something prepared, they say, oh, I found my bread baked and my food cooked. So that's what it means, it's going to grow on trees. That it means that it's just all going to be available.
It's funny, today we have the expression, money grows on trees.
Right?
Right,
we want food and clothing to grow on trees. Right. But the benefit of all that's why we're reading this, is that we can get away from the troubles that comes from being under the subjugation of the other nations. Ha'otzeres ba'adenu, which pressures us, which limits us, milasos hato, from doing good things. V'tir b'hadas, and so knowledge will increase in the world. As it says, and this is going to be an important verse which we'll discuss, ki mala ha'aretz de'as Hashem, the world will be filled with knowledge of God. V'yifsiku akravas ma'amalchamas, and wars will stop. As it says, v'yisu goy al goy cheref, the nation will not lift up against another nation a sword. V'yasig kol mishiyah b'osna yamim. Whoever gets to live in those days will have shleimus gedola yiska balachaya l'maba, will have the opportunity to be the best version of yourself and get the most olam haba. Meaning what we're saying is like this. Right now, if a person lives 120 years, 30, 40 of those years are going to get wasted by the situation and the world that we live in. That's going to steal time. Traffic is going to steal time and make you late for davening sometimes. That's just going to happen. But if you live in a world without traffic, you'll never be late for davening. Right? So that's going to be the, apply that to more serious things, obviously. But that's the idea, is that we will be able to fulfill our true purpose. The next line in the Rambam didn't have to say that, but it actually has a little bit of a historical anecdote, which is the Rambam says, "V'Mashiach Yamus, Mashiach will die, V'Yimloch B'no, and then his son will take his place, U'Ben B'no, and then his grandson will take his place." And this is based on the Gemara, that one of the opinions in the Gemara is Rabbi Kapach suggests this. One of the opinions of the Gemara is that the days of the Mashiach last three generations, so therefore the Rambam says the son, him, the Mashiach, his son and grandson. Now, this is not on our subject, but it's an interesting anecdote. The Ramban was invited to dispute the Jewish apostates in Barcelona, in the famous dispute of Barcelona. And there were many disputes in Europe during the times of the Christians, but most of them, the Jews didn't stand a chance, because you had to present the dispute, but without insulting Christianity. So we discussed this when we were talking about some of the challenges of the disputes when the Rambam was talking about Christianity itself. But one of the few exceptions is the Ramban, who won his debate in a very, very clever way. It's available, you can read the dispute of Barcelona. But mostly the way the Ramban wins is not just through his knowledge of Torah, but his true understanding of humanity. Because as you know, debating is not about who knows more, but who can present the information in a way that's more convincing. And no non-Talmudist will ever beat a Talmudist in this debate, that kind of debate. So the Ramban is, of course, the master Talmudist of his generation. And so when they say to him, "So you agree to the rules, no insulting Christianity," so we've discussed this before, so I'll just do it quickly. He said, "I don't agree to the rules." They said, "What do you mean? You're going to insult Christianity?" He says, "Absolutely not. I want to not insult Christianity of my own choice." So the king was very impressed by that request and granted the Ramban that it's not the rules, but the Ramban will of his own. And as a result, the Ramban is allowed to say certain things and get away with saying certain things because he's knows how to phrase it. One of these is a very clever sleight of hand. Very clever sleight of hand on the part of the Ramban. Because one of the points that the Ramban makes is that the reason we don't accept Yashki as the Messiah is because he died. And so that's, he failed. Right? So we saw the Rambam as a whole, the Rambam says we didn't accept him because he failed in every single, like on the test he got a zero. Right? That's the Rambam. But of course the Ramban can't say that. So the Ramban wants to pull a technicality that he died. So this apostate says, but the Rambam, Maimonides, said that Mashiach will die. So the Ramban says, show me this Rambam. Because this apostate heard of this Rambam. But he's not a Torah scholar. So this guy went to the shelf, or whatever scrolls they had, and went through Mishneh Torah, and is reading the Rambam, the Laws of Kings and Wars, one page, two page, somewhere, it's got to be somewhere here. Doesn't find it. Ramban looks correct. Now, the Rambam does say it. We just read it in his commentary to the Mishnah that Mashiach will die and the son will take his place and his grandson after him. That the Ramban thinks the Rambam's wrong too. Right? The Ramban says, no, Mashiach is not going to die, and therefore, since yours died, he's out. But the Ramban can't say to the king, the Rambam's wrong. That's not going to... So show me. Knowing, again, you have to understand humanity to win a debate, that there's not a chance in this world that this guy is going to pull out where this Rambam is. And the gamble pays off, of course, and not only is the Ramban not disproven, but the other guy looks the fool. So that's a little funny anecdote on this line in the Rambam, because the Rambam does say it. Okay. Ukvarbir Hashem es moso, and then the Rambam quotes a pasuk, but the tasmid malchuso zman rav ma'od. But he's going to be king for a very long time. V'gam yarchu chaye b'nei adam, and people's lives will actually be longer. Ki behedra adagis v'atzaris, because if you remove stress and troubles from a person's life, yarchu achayim, you will naturally live longer. V'ein zeh muzar, so I don't think it's strange, shetasmid malchuso alfei shanim, that he can be king for thousands of his kingdom. Meaning his children, his grandchildren, should last thousands of years. Going back to the words of the Rambam, says the Rambam, "Ve'enanu misavim li'mosa Mashiach," but we don't want Mashiach. Lo kedei sheyirbu atvuos v'nechasim. But it's not for the economic success. It's not so that we all have property, so that Eretz Yisrael grows and we can all have decent-sized houses rather than the shkin spaces that we have today there. Right? That's not what it means. Lo kedei shenirkav al susim. It's not so that we can ride the horses, v'nishta b'chli zemer, and drink out of musical instruments. K'mo shechoshvim me'uvali adeus, as the crazy people think. And this Abu Lahem and Avim, the prophets they desire, v'nishtokil ha'machasidim, because of what will be there. Mikibutz ha'tzadikim, the righteous will gather. V'ayisnagus ha'tovas v'achachman, good will be running the world. And wisdom. V'yosher ha'melach, the king will be upright. V'godel chachmas, so he's going to be so wise. Could you imagine if the Jewish people had one wise leader? V'iskarvusel lefnei boru, and he's going to be so close to Hashem. K'mo she'amarlo, it says, b'niata, you are my son. The Kiyum called Torah Moshe, we're going to keep the whole Torah, Beli Daigos, without stress, Velo Pachad, no fear, Velo Ones, no one's going to force us to do anything, as it says in the Psukim. Ki Kulam Yedu Osi, everyone will know Hashem, Mikatna Mad Gedolam, V'nasati Tarasi Belibam, God's Torah will be in the hearts of every Jew. It's not like we're going to have to fight with people to shut down the buses on Shabbos. No one's going to be wanting to ride a bus on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom. God will remove the heart of stone from within us. So you think you can do mitzvahs now? You think you can attain Olam Haba now? You should know that in the days of Mashiach, then you'll really earn your Olam Haba. You'll be doing mitzvahs all day. And the purpose is Olam Haba. This world is not an end to anything. So therefore you have to put the effort in towards your true purpose, which is Olam Haba. And therefore, the whole concept of Mashiach is not an end to itself, according to the Rambam, but simply the greatest means to the true end.
So would that be the Yetzirah then?
So it sounds like there'll still be a Yetzirah.
But otherwise you can't really
That's right. But this is all again the Rambam. The Ramban learns differently. They hold that these are early stages of Olam Haba. But this is the way the Rambam learns it. Yes? So as we've mentioned, the Rambam says that the timing, the chronological placement of Tchiyas HaMesim is one of those things which if you read the verse this way will mean like that, and if you read one of the verse this way it will mean like that. Which is why when someone challenged him and said, it sounds like you don't even believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, he's saying, no, absolutely I believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, I just don't believe Mashiach has to do Tchiyas HaMesim to prove he's Mashiach. But then the Rambam says, but it can happen before, during, or after Mashiach.
Because if Mashiach is going to bring
so that he could ever use more. How is it fair to the people who already died?
That's right. No, I think you're absolutely right. Although the official response to your how is it fair would be, what do you mean? They earned Mashiach coming. They worked for it. They did the mitzvahs. The problem is, we don't believe that let's say if we bring Mashiach today, we don't believe it's really us. We believe we're on the shoulders of giants, right? So then how come they didn't get it? So back to your point, it would certainly read well. The Rambam does seem to understand that it's somewhere at the beginning of this process. And yes, so that would make perfect sense, because it has to be that those people should also get the opportunity to fulfill the Torah mitzvahs in a way, right? The generation that had to learn Torah in a basement by candlelight, they should have the opportunity to learn Torah in a gigantic base medrash with walls filled with svarim. One final thing, as we can stick this into the time, is that the Rambam then, in his commentary to the Mishnah, asks a question and says, well, why do you want Olam Haba? And if your answer is, because I want to be comfortable, says the Rambam, you're almost at the top. You're almost at the top. Because we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Al tiu kavadim hamisham shemes harav amanas lekabel pras." Don't serve God for like slaves who serve their master for reward, but you should do it not for the sake of reward. Now we don't have time to read the whole Rambam, but the Rambam goes out of his way to explain that that's a very, very high level that very few people have reached. That's like Avram Avinu level, says the Rambam earlier in this. And that's why when Antigonus taught this, that you shouldn't be like people serving for reward, his two students, Tzadok and Baisus, became the Sadducees and the Baitusim. They went off the Derech because their Rebbe, says the Rambam, their Rebbe was teaching them something that was they weren't ready to handle. You can't tell people not to serve for reward. That's a lofty high level, he says, that a person naturally graduates from. Which is that when you start to do the right thing, you start wanting to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And so he says, "V'mayosu atachlus." Even though the ultimate goal is Olam Haba, it's not appropriate if you want to serve Hashem with love to serve even for Olam Haba. Rather, meaning we know Olam Haba is coming. Shim kvar hamin sheyeshmad. If you know that Hashem told the Nevi'im that this is the right way to do things, hari chayev mitzade yosu adam yasher. If you're a good person, you should do the right thing. Leiskarev alamalus, because you want to be the best you. Leishrachik ben agras, and not be the worst you. And so when you do this, you fix yourself, and when you become an adam shalem, a complete person, hari mimalus adam shal yakvenu ma'akim shetiskayim nafsho b'kiyum uskalav zeh olam haba. Then naturally you get olam haba. So even though Olam Haba is the ultimate reward, there's a way of serving Hashem that's even higher than that. And so when the Rambam talks about wanting Mashiach so that we can serve Hashem properly, so that we can get Olam Haba, that's still just the Rambam speaking to regular people. But the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah says you should know that's how you're supposed to. Every person should serve that way until you reach a level that's even higher, where you just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But bringing us back to where we are, those are the three sources in the Rambam where he discusses this point. Be'ez Hashem, we will return next time with a few points that we have to clarify on what we've learned before, and then the final halacha in the Rambam, Be'ez Hashem, coming up next time. Yeah, yes.